touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught, touchdown.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We're live at Pickle and Social having day two of our summer games. We start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man.
It is good to have you listening. Competition 3 here on day 2 is going on. Jenga, well, that was a fail for Team Dukes as Team Bell got back into it. Earlier today, the Connect 4, oversized Connect 4 game, went to Team Dukes, and now they are participating in the third round of this competition in day 2 as summer games continue here at Pickle and Social. And Mike, first and foremost, folks are just joining us, tuning in, maybe on your way home, you're just listening on your smart speaker or your computer. How would you describe this place, man?
Hey, man, it is great. First off, thanks to our buddy Lance, old friend of mine, is part of the management group of the Pickle and Social. There's a bunch going around Midtown, or should I say Metro Atlanta, Carl, because it's a great concept. Pickleball is one of the hottest phenomenons. Last, what, 5 or 6 years, even longer than that. Everybody's digging it, from young kids to older people, hip-hop, even those dudes, everybody's in on it. So it's indoor-outdoor pickleball with all sorts of games and indoor bar, great food, great meeting place, concerts up here as well. So it's over here by Topgolf on the right side or east side of 85 going north for the Buford Drive exit. But Pickle and Social, man, it is a huge complex. We got the tour, the indoor-outdoor. I can imagine in the summer and the fall, man, night is going to be off the chain down here. Yeah. And another one of these multi-use, developments with apartments, a lot of food, a lot of retail. Very cool.
It is, and inside there is areas. If you're going, man, I can't play pickleball in this weather. Actually, they have courts inside.
Courts inside, yeah. Man. And so, we saw some ladies in action earlier today.
So a lot of fun out here, and thanks to all the folks. Tomorrow we're at Lake Lanier at Margaritaville for day 3 of the summer games. It's going to be cornhole tomorrow, but I'm curious to see how the day finishes out. All right, with that said, man, a lot going on, as we will talk about our Braves coming up with Grant McCauley a little bit later on this hour. Great conversation with Rusty Manziel, Mike, about the Dogs. Mm. And real quick, just to kind of review, you know, Rusty said to us, and for those of you who might have missed it, the Dogs had another situation where they got a couple of kids stopped,
right?
DUI, driving, you know, reckless driving. And Rusty said, look, Kirby and his staff are doing everything they can. Now, SEC Media Days is next week. We're not going to make this a bigger deal than what it needs to be, but it's still a huge conversation, Mike, because of the history of what's happened over the last year and a half with Georgia.
When you have the tragedy, you lose two people, and you still see these things happening. And Rusty, as you just mentioned, talked to us about how they literally just had someone speak to the football team about making better decisions when you get behind the wheel. Smile Munden and Bo Hewley, an offensive lineman, arrested on two separate incidents, reckless driving charge. One was a one-car accident. It's just tough because I think even the most hardcore Georgia fans know the optics on this are terrible.
Right.
And I just think the good thing is, if you're Kirby, you know not enough to sound like an idiot like Mike Gundy as they're trying to rationalize things you know you can't do. I'm not going to get holier than thou than driving fast because I, Lord knows I've had enough tickets doing it. But I just think in the case of Georgia, you got to start cutting guys. Now, you're not going to cut your best defensive player. But, I mean, at some point, like Jimmy Johnson used to say about the Cowboys in the old days, no, I don't treat Troy Aikman the same as I treat the long snapper. Somebody's going to have to get cut. You're going to start just dropping guys. Now, Kirby will say, look, we have to let the legal process play itself out. If people wanted to get in their bag over the Trevor Etienne arrest, Trevor Etienne had his case adjudicated. It was a drop from a DUI down to reckless driving, and there was a plea bargain deal put together, and he's going to pay a penalty, going to do some things, obviously team-oriented discipline. But a lot of folks are going to say it's more than running steps at this point.
Yeah, I'll say this. Maybe 2 years ago, I didn't appreciate it as much, but I do like the fact, having, you know, a kid in college and having a lot of friends that have kids in college, you're going to make mistakes. And Kirby understands that part of this process is that they need to lead these young men and help them understand and correct those mistakes and not just throw them out and not just suspend them and not just have them transfer. And that's why you haven't seen a lot of that at Georgia. You may not agree with it, but I kind of get a sense that that is the right way to go about this. And also, Mike, when you think back to the days when Kirby was at Alabama with Nick Saban, Saban didn't do that. When they got guys in trouble, right, they just didn't throw them out. You know, there's a process of, hey, you screwed up. You gotta understand what it means, and right, you gotta understand the responsibility that comes with being who you are, which is a kid that's at the University of Georgia playing football. So,
and there's a student athlete code of conduct or a student code of conduct,
yes,
which also has to play out in some cases, depending on the university.
But I like that idea of the way he's handled that. And again, a lot of people, I'm not telling you that there shouldn't have been more punishment for severe issues that have happened, But, like, with this situation, if these young men, they'll be found, you know, court of law, they'll do their thing. But Kirby's been really good about that, Mike. So we'll see what happens. But Rusty talked to us about it. You'll hear that conversation coming up in the six
o'clock. And as we said, we know the story here, but you know what people are going to say outside of the SEC. Oh, here we go, another football factory. They haven't learned their lesson, running amok. And it's just the optics are terrible. But we'll see how Kirby handles it. Not his first rodeo, of course, next week at SEC Media Days.
All right, let's talk some Falcons, man, because we are counting down to the start of training camp. Listen, there are questions we try to pose and think about. And you know, as we get closer to camp, a lot of this stuff is going to get answered. Like, I'm hoping by the time we play our third preseason game and, you know, we've gotten a chance to see these guys over a 3 or 4 week period, Mike, that we have a real sense of what this is going to look like. Mm. And specifically on defense. So we're high on a lot of things, but the one area that a lot of people are not necessarily high on is the defensive line. Grady Jarrett, David Onyemata coming back, Zach Harrison, Kentavious Street, who was actually good until he got injured,
right.
Taquan Graham. These are guys that are coming back. You lose, obviously, Calais Campbell, and I think the biggest loss outside of Calais Campbell may have been, and I'm talking D linemen now, I'm not talking about linebackers, may have been, I don't know, Albert Huggins, I'm thinking out loud, Mike, right. Joe, Travis Bell, none of these guys really did anything to the degree that you felt like Calais Campbell, and that was a loss with the sacks and his leadership. But you add all of these young guns, Dorless, Rook, you talk about who's going to play and how many snaps they're going to get in this defense. Pretty much the bottom line is a lot of people think this defensive line, is it better or is it worse? And some people say it's worse, Mike. They don't feel like it's better.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you had 13 and a half sacks walk out the door, Bud Dupree and Calais. And, like, I understand why you're moving on. And like, everyone loves Calais. He was a great fit for this team. He's down in Miami. But they feel they've got the guys. Now, Jimmy Lake, along with Raheem Morris, if you look at what they did last year with that, you know, that Rams defense was unbelievable. I know they got Aaron Donald. And we've got our guy, Grady Jarrett, coming off an injury. But it's hard. That's why I asked that question the other day. It's hard to see where the sacks are coming from. Are you going to scheme the sacks? Is Caden Ellis going to be walking up like we thought he was last year? And is he going to be the guy? I mean, is Lorenzo Carter going to all of a sudden pop for 10 sacks? Mm. You don't really see. I mean, that's what I'm saying. It's going to be interesting. I'm not going to say it can't happen, but I can't go on the radio and say, listen, just like I did, I'll never make the mistake that I did 2 years ago. Guys, if only Desmond Ridder can do this,
yeah,
which he couldn't. And I don't know it until you prove it to me that we've got guys who can get the quarterback on the ground. That's why a lot of folks look at us and say, you better score 3 or 4. Check that. 4 or 5 touchdowns a game because you need to take pressure off your defense.
I don't know if it's worse. I certainly don't think it's better right now because we haven't seen those results.
But you did lose your best edge rusher guys, even though they were old.
Correct. But that's the thing, Mike. They were. These were old guys making plays, not necessarily off of their skill level anymore. They were making plays off of the scheme. They were scheming those guys to get to the quarterback. That's why, you know, for all that Calais did, and I love what he brought to the team. He was a terrific guy. I said this. There was a youth movement and a size movement in this draft. That's what they went after.
Size and length.
Will it play? Will it pay off for this defensive line? We're going to find out. But if you're asking us right now, what is one of the things that people will be saying, hey, I don't know if the Falcons are going to be good in that particular area. I'm going to hold judgment. I don't think we're worse, but I don't know if we're better either.
Well, like I said, the other part of this, and when you and I were, I think it was Monday or was it last week, we were looking at the teams that led the NFL in sacks, top five. Somebody are on our schedule this year, like the Steelers, like the Chiefs. You know, these are teams that get after it. You know, the Eagles are really good too. But if you look at how the defense, the front, helps the back, the teams that have the great edge rush, they're seeming to have, you know, defensive secondaries that come up with turnovers.
Yeah.
And we've got a secondary that doesn't turn the ball over, save for Jesse Bates. And how are you going to help those guys do their job? So one hand washes the other. And I'm just hoping, man, because I look at the Rams and you love the way they drafted those middle the third round guys had immediate impact. If we get the same thing the Rams got last year, Carl, then all these conversations we can laugh. Remember we were worried about pass rush, but right now you don't know who that guy is. We don't know because we haven't seen him play it down for the Falcons yet.
404-726-0929. You can hit us up. Also find us on social media as we're live at Pickle and Social. It's Dukes and Bell. Find Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes. The radio show is Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on. If you're wondering why we're up here again, we've been in a couple different places. Yesterday it was Game Changer up at Lake Lanier Island. And then today over here at Pickle and Social, we have our summer games going on. And our guys are participating. Team Dukes today is Joe Patrick and Caleb, and then Day-Day and Bo Johnson for Team Dukes. So these guys are trying to finish up this competition today, Mike.
Who's winning right now, Jersey Mike? Is it? All right, so right now you have a one-shot lead in gigantic oversized beer pong. So right now we're going to beer pong. It's 4-3 Team Dukes right now over Team Bell. And Dylon, I need you to shoot better than that. Oh, no, it's Day-Day. You have Dylon. You have Dylon. I have Day-Day.
Yeah, Dylon's not here today. Yeah.
You had Dylon was good at Axe Draw. Man, he was a killer with the Axe Draw.
He was. He
and
was
I don't
really
mean
good.
That literally. He really was. Man, we look like we're missing our – oh, that's not good.
Well, you better do something. I mean, you better fire your guys up.
Day-Day shooting like Dyson Daniels.
That's not right.
Well, I mean, I don't really know. Oh, I've never really seen Dyson Daniels shoot. But as Carl says, I can only look at the stats.
He can't shoot
5 points a game.
Yeah.
Hey, a couple of guys hit us up on the text line. They're saying, are we going to be blitz happy? Don't know. Are we going to be blitzing up the yin yang?
I wouldn't say blitz happy. I would say we're going to blitz more than our two previous coordinators.
That's what TJ. He's asking the question.
Yes.
I don't know. We don't know yet.
We're going to blitz more. I would say we're going to blitz more than our two previous coordinators. And again, last two guys that were in here, you know, the last guy, many of you didn't want to let go. I think we're going to be fine with that aspect of it. I just do. Guys, sacks are going to come. I really do. And if you're going to be
But
if you're going to be extraordinary at sacks, like the Eagles a few years ago when they go Super Bowl, Mike, they had three different guys who had double-digit sacks.
Right.
Those guys as individuals, I don't know about our individuals yet, but as a team, I think they're going to scheme and we're going to be all right now.
You know what's going to be so much fun this year? After all those, we spent probably 2 months talking about edge rush and Dallas Turner, all right, and Leatu Latu.
Yeah, Latu.
And everybody else.
Latu.
You know, Jared Verse, all those guys. So I'd be very curious what kind of, are these guys having impact? Because nobody, as far as personnel guys around the league, not just the Falcons, thought those guys were worth drafting in that top 10.
No, they didn't. Latu came off the board first, though. Turner may be a player. We'll see. Coming up, though, we've got our strong arm story of the day. This hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. We're live at Pickle and Social.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Tell you what the big story is here at Pickle and Social, and that is that it's come down to this. Team Dukes, Team Bell competing, Mike, in the last event of the day. This has been an ongoing battle.
It's oversized beer pong. Right now it is Caleb. All you just heard of the update. Amazing, he's so versatile. Along with our man Smoking Joe Patrick taking on our man Day-Day and Bo Johnson. And they're down to it's oversized beer pong. We have three cups to aim for. Your team has one. So it's basically an advantage now. Only one bucket. You just need one bucket for Team Dukes to win this overall. And you would be Dormy 3 going into tomorrow and the competition at Margaritaville at Lake Lanier Islands.
I got to tell you something. Your team is wearing down right now.
Will you stop it?
I mean, I can see the fatigue in their eyes. Look at that.
No, Bo's
they're coming
just,
up really
that's,
short.
That's not fatigue. Bo's just angry.
And I'll say this, too, by the way. These guys have been out here. They did three events today. You guys can tell me this is not a big deal and it's not hard.
Right.
They've been out in the sun, man. They did Connect Four. They did Jenga, these oversized game boards. Oh!
Joe could not keep the ball in the bucket. But again, it's basically oversized beer pong. You guys know the rules, so we're shooting like a miniature basketball into like
Mike,
a giant Home Depot bucket.
It's hard because it's like darts when you got to hit that last those
I
last
know.
Points.
Well, you guys, we've been watching these guys. It's been 20 minutes for them to try to hit the last basket. So only one can win.
Hold on, excuse me.
Don't give up. Let's go.
Come on, Day-Day. Oh man, where was that going, man?
All right, It's Dukes and Bell, guys. We're out here. We've had a lot of fun today. And again, lots of folks out here. Randy Mack came out to support his guys. He came out here to support Bo, who obviously is the producer on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, and his family's out here. So lots of folks have come out. Some of our everyday listeners, Mike, making their way out here. And a lot of our folks that we see at Hooters, man,
right,
by the way.
Hey, before you know it, guys, Falcons Camp will be open in less than 2 weeks. We'll be up at the Hooters Mall of Georgia. But for everybody who lives up here, we got a lot of folks in Gwinnett and Buford and this neck of the woods, Swanee. What a cool spot, man. It's a Gwinnett. It's Pickles Social Gwinnett here in Buford, right around the corner from Top Golf. Great layout.
Mike, with SEC Media Days next week, and we're going to hear from Kirby and all the coaches, guys, you know, Hugh Freeze, everybody. I'm really curious, by the way. We hadn't even talked about this. We will next week. What's Billy Napier going to say? Because I think he's going to catch a little heat next week about what he has to do this year to keep his gig.
Right.
And a lot of people were saying he may not make it through the season. I think Napier goes into the season on the hot seat. But, you know, we've got time. But
and
I will
the Jaden Rashada lawsuit still hasn't been settled.
No. It's still out there.
I'm still waiting to see Florida cut a check on this.
Well, that's going to be interesting, too. The Big 12 had their media day. And I'm just curious to know what you think about this. Because we love Deion in this city. He's one of those guys, Mike, that, you know, when he comes through the ATL, he always gets love. Absolutely. Well, he's at Colorado now. And Deion, and I'm going to let you hear this, was saying a couple of things. One, that he's judged differently, Mike, when it comes to this how his team wins, him winning, etc. And then he was asked about, you know, his kids getting the bag. And he said, look, I want my kids to be, you know, focused on what they're doing in the game, not necessarily getting their bag. We know the game has changed. A lot of these kids are coming in saying, how much are you going to give me? Deion Sanders talking about being judged differently. Listen to this.
Yes, I'm judged on a different scale. My wins are totally different than your wins. Your wins, you just judging football. That's why I have to start out and give you education and academics and so forth. I have to give you those things so you understand there's a greater scope. I can't win 9 games and our GPA suffers. Our GPA can't be high, but we lose another 8 games. We can't not go and grab high school players, and you got a bunch of guys in the portal, out of the portal, that's getting incarcerated. My wins are different. We have to win in every area. That's the way we're judged, and I'm cool with that.
Now, again, guys, if you don't understand, you can't read between the lines of Deion's comments. I don't know what country or what planet you're on. This is a guy who is, a bombastic personality. And he went to Jackson State, and people said, oh, that'll never work.
Yeah.
And then he makes it work, and then when he leaves, when he gets a great opportunity, he gets killed by people in the media of his race, which blew me away, for, oh, he's supposed to stay there, Jackson State, forever? No. He's showing you that he can make this happen. He can climb the ladder as an African-American coach using swag and using the transfer portal, which, by the way, everyone else is using.
Absolutely.
But he gets killed for it because he came into Colorado and said, you're the worst or one of the worst teams in Division I. And if you guys want to leave, leave. But he said it, look, I'm bringing luggage. And my luggage was at Gucci.
Louis.
It was Louis Vuitton. And people didn't like it. Look, I just thought it was so jive. Remember, I was at Venables in Oklahoma last year. Well, I kept all my bums. And my bums, we went and won 8 games, and we got beat by Florida State in the Cheez-It Bowl. And that's the way you do it. Like, different strokes for different folks. Deion is held to a different standard. There is a tinge of racism there. And there's people that just don't like Deion because of his style, because of his personality and his swag. And there's so many in the media rooting for him to fail.
Yes.
I think it's awful.
Yeah.
And everything he said is accurate.
It is. And he's
you don't have to like him, but you should respect what the man is doing.
Well, the qualifications, you know, again, it's well, did you do this? Did you do this? It's not just that you won. It's all the other things.
Now he's got to thread 6 needles to do what he's doing.
Yeah. And Mike, the whole leaving Jackson State thing was people, you know, specifically in the black media and people that cover HBCUs were upset simply because Deion said, I'm going to be here. And then when an opportunity came, he did what all coaches do. They look at it and say, hey, I want to do something else. And he got criticized for it. But at the end of the day, he elevated Jackson State. He elevated, you know, the swag. He elevated all the coverage and things that were going on. And so for that, I think he's better. It's better, even though Deion's not there. But with that said, he also talked about the bag. And I want you to hear this. We're talking college football. It's Dukes and Bell. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about our Braves coming up. But just wanted you to hear this because next week we'll be talking a lot about the SEC and what's said with these coaches. Deion Sanders talking about his players putting the bag before the game.
It's been a tremendous asset for me to understand those facets of this new recruiting age that is impacted tremendously by NILs and collectives. So I love it. Sometimes I don't like it, but I love it, and I love that these kids are being compensated somewhat for what they bring to the table. I don't want them to put the bag before the game, because if you have the game, the bag is going to come. I want them to understand that.
Now, again, critics are going to say, easy for you to say that. Your kids living in a $2 million mansion. They're all driving Lamborghinis. You know, but look, but everybody's doing it. University of Texas, the meme that's gone viral with all the Lamborghinis lined up outside the training facility. Look, it's now part of the landscape. But, like,
can I tell y'all a secret, though? It's always been that way.
It's always been like that.
I hate to now, be the bearer of bad news.
NIL, now it's legal.
Okay.
I mean, look, those 30 for 30s, Marcus Dupree, that's how it was. I mean, SMU wasn't the only guys. They're just dumb enough to get caught. So, getting back to Deion, I'm rooting for the guy. Beating TCU was huge. Now, other way, now a year later, guys are trying to downplay. Well, TCU's that thing. Give me a break.
You're coming off the national championship.
Three touchdown dog going into. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
So look, he's always going to have his detractors, but now again, but there is some pressure to win this year before Shador goes to the NFL.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see what these SEC coaches say. Somebody's going to say something next week. Right. Not that was, you know, Deion going out of his way to make a point. He was answering questions.
But real quick, I know we got to get to our boys, but it comes to the SWAC and the MEAC. I just think it's just, if you can go get some coaches and bring former NFL players in, come up with a game plan, but you've got to have commitment from your alumni. You're never going to have the resources that bigger schools have because they just have more guys with more dollars. But there's still got to be a way that SWAC, MEAC, that black, historically black colleges can find a way to bring high-profile coaches in and do, to a lesser extent, a light version of what Deion did.
Yeah, but you got to want to go there. There's so many complicated.
But it takes a dynamic personality to get those guys to go to Jackson State. That's what Deion was.
Yeah, but he only went there, Mike, because he said, look, I'm a head coach. I'm not going to go somewhere and be an assistant. And then he proved it.
Right.
My point with the whole SWAC and all HBCUs, the resources are not there. And when you're talking about asking guys to basically come for free,
that's it,
and do the work, well, you got it's to, different. He could do that because he was financially stable.
And most millionaire NFL players don't want to coach.
No. All right, man, let's talk to the winners.
Let's go.
To the winners.
Now, for those who are not familiar, the Summer Games was always going to be a 3 out of 5. And the first team to 3 wins. And it's Dukes' team. All right, congratulations to Caleb Johnson.
Good run, Day-Day. And, give me some love, baby. Good run.
Smoking Joe Patrick. By the way, real quick, thanks to Bo and Day-Day. He left it all on the field. Day-Day is sweating. I mean, you're out there in the hot sun. All right, they were playing the beer pong. We beat you guys in the Jenga. You won Connect 4. Talk about this beer pong.
You know, it was – well, the whole event was a battle of wits. It was a battle of, you know, physicality. It was a battle of endurance by the end of there, where no one could make a bucket. But Caleb really brought it home on the oversized beer pong challenge there. I guess, which makes sense. He's the Hawks reporter, the NBA guy.
It's harder than you think, though.
He's a Hawks insider who can shoot.
It's harder than you think. Fellas, first of all, let me say this. I'm proud of you. Secondly,
thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Coach.
I'm proud
thanks,
of
Coach.
You guys have made me proud. You look me in the face right now. Thank you, Caleb. Thank you, Joe Patrick. And here's the deal, guys. Seriously, we've been out here. I want to talk about the Connect Four because that last game, that last match came down to, like, it could have gone either way, right?
Look, what I was saying is Day-Day was out there like Bryson DeChambeau and was just taking absolutely forever with every move that he made. Mm. But we finally got it done.
Yeah. It was intense. That last match, they turned when you guys finished and you turned that Connect Four round, and Mike and I were looking at it, one move could have blown that.
Exactly, exactly. Oh, yeah. There were two landmines out there, and we had to basically play the long game and wait till all the slots got filled up before we could put that winning move down.
Not to take the low road on this, but you win the coin toss to Connect Four. You win. When adults play it.
It was a fair flip.
When adults play it, it's one thing. You could hustle your kid, your cousin at Christmas at Connect Four, but when you're playing with adults, if you get the first disc in, you're going to win. I'm not trying to be a sore loser. Okay, I'll be a sore loser.
Man sounds like a Connect Four hustler.
In the final analysis, and we will still compete, we will show up for the consolation prize.
Oh, I like the sound of this. Islands.
But I think everything went south.
Can we put a press on? Can you guys put a press on for the last
well,
game?
Well, I'm down with that.
Bro Johnson just said it'd probably be double or nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I just feel things went south for team shenanigans when Garrett Chapman was handed an axe at yesterday,
hey.
If we're honest.
Hey.
If we're honest.
You picked him.
I know. This is where the plucky Coach's son, gym rat, works harder, outthinks the competition, great route runner, came back to bite us. There was no Wes Welker on my squad.
I just appreciate the athleticism of Joe Patrick. Caleb, I mean, I saw it out there. Yeah, I saw you. How you guys thank left you. It on the line.
Do you feel that
no one else understands. No one else respects the athleticism.
Do you
thank
feel
you,
that
Carl.
Your low center of gravity was an advantage?
Yes, yes, it was. That's right. Have a solid base.
Great job. Today, tomorrow, we're at Margaritaville, guys. It's day three and our last day. Bo Johnson, thank you, brother. Appreciate you. Good stuff.
Love you, man.
Day-Day, thank you. And great to job, the Day-Day. Champions!
Oh.
Joe and Caleb.
Oh,
I'm flexing. I'm flexing, baby.
Shame.
We're coming back. Grant Shame. McCauley's going to join us next.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley, close but no cigar last night. We can still win this series tonight. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Let's go around the yard. Grant, talking about last night, I said this to Mike. Two starts for Charlie in July, and he's given up four home runs. The home run hurt him last night, and he owned it. You know, he was like, look, a couple of pitches, but we're still scoring runs. And I'm trying to take some positives out of this. Grant, we scored five again last night.
Yeah, I mean, there was fight. And that, I think, was something that for what felt like 6 months, or 6 months, 6 weeks, it felt like 6 months, 8 weeks, whatever it was, the Braves didn't have the home runs going. They did not have the ability to just rally time and again to even up a game. And that's a moral victory. And maybe in sports sometimes, and especially when you're fighting for every game that you can, there are no moral victories. But you have to, I think, at least appreciate that this Braves lineup does appear to have more fight and a little bit more bite to it. And we saw some of that last night. Unfortunately for Charlie, home run ball was a problem. Unfortunately for Joe Jimenez, he's had very few bad outings this season. But never a good time for one when you're on the road and that team has a chance to ultimately take the lead and move ahead the way that the Diamondbacks did. But by and large, again, yeah, you're right. Chance to win a series, chance to close out this first half with a series victory in Arizona and maybe another in San Diego, which is going to be a fun series, which I'm sure we'll get to tomorrow.
Just frustrating because, you know, Charlie Morton was, you know, the two outs. That's the thing, the two-out home runs.
Yeah.
They just,
mm-hmm.
Oh, it's such a backbreaker because it seems like he's just one pitch away, but he was really up in the strike zone with some of those curveballs.
Yeah, and the first one especially, the Eugenio Suarez one that looked like, to me, I mean, they said that one went only 10 feet further than Duvall's the day before, but man, it yeah. felt like it was about 40 or 50 feet further. I mean, he clearly was waiting on that curveball. It hung there on the outside, and you let a big power hitter like that, even with a lot of swing and miss in his profile, kind of sit looking for something, especially get his arms extended. That definitely hurt. But Charlie, after having so much trouble with the home run ball a couple of years ago, really bounced back nicely last year. I feel like he's also continued to kind of work his arsenal this year to pitch a bit differently. But you know, there's no getting around the fact that his curveball is his strikeout pitch. It's the one that he's going to go to. He just didn't execute that one. And the Diamondbacks, I mean, they're a team that their record doesn't necessarily, much like the Braves, kind of underscore exactly how good this team can be. But have they been able to find the consistency? No, they haven't. But they were playing some better baseball before coming in and losing the first two against the Braves.
We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys. It's Dukes and Bell. Braves back in action tonight. This is a four-game set, by the way, and we'll see what happens. Ozuna continues to do this, man. Like, last night, that yeah. bomb, you know. And that, I thought at that point, Grant, I was like, okay, we're about to come back and win this thing.
Yeah, and they finally are giving you that feeling again on a semi-regular yes. basis. And Marcell Ozuna, I mean, this just continues to be a season for him in which, and I know I joked about it yesterday, but I'll say it again, where would the Braves be without Marcell Ozuna this season? He has right. just been the guy for him, and he was that guy in the eighth inning that, you know, was trying to even up the ledger, give them a chance to maybe steal another one in extras if they needed to do that. But he's come through, I mean, half of his runs batted in this year have come with two outs on top of that, which has been kind of part of that clutch gene, if you want to call it that, something that's kind of a tangible, intangible that Marcell has brought to the table as well. But he picked a big moment for one. Unfortunately for the Braves, the Diamondbacks had the answer in the bottom half.
Phillies are on pace to win 106 games. As Grant McCauley joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Looked it up earlier today. Look at the numbers, as me and Carl like to say. The Braves have had 100-win seasons a bunch of times, Grant, and never went on to win the World Series. 98, they lost to the Padres. They've just, I don't care. I've been banging on the wild card thing. With the right pieces at the trade deadline, and as you said, the bullpen, you don't really, you know, still don't feel it really needs a tweak. Maybe, you know, get a bat or two, and let's just go to work and just and get there from the wild card.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you kind of have to look at it this way. I mean, and I've said this a lot on From the Diamond, and I'm going to throw that plug in there because I just want people to know where they can get it, wherever your podcasts are, or where you get your podcasts, and also on the Odyssey app. That aside, you know, the Braves will maintain, and Brian Snitker said this about 3 weeks ago, we're not planning to win a wild card. We want to win the East. That is going to be their mission every single year. It has always been their mission. It is not the only, you know, mission in their whole campaign, though. Getting into the postseason is where they feel like they have the opportunity to get hot, to be that team, and in that month that does the things that only one club can do ultimately and be the last team standing. If it happens to come to the wild card, they'll deal with that. They'll be happy to be there regardless. But, yeah, I think you go out, you get what you can at the trade deadline that can make this club better. I think we should be encouraged by some of the signs we're starting to see offensively from a number of hitters not named Marcell Ozuna, and just let the chips fall where they may. Go out there and win every day, and that's another thing about the Braves that I think maybe drives some people nuts, but it probably shouldn't. You know, they look at every day as an opportunity, and if today's opportunity doesn't work, tomorrow's another one. They'll go out there and approach it that way, and I feel like that everyday thing is one of the reasons why they have been so successful, is that they do recognize each opportunity and move forward. As cliche as it may sound, when you do set your mind to something, your intent to something, and you focus on that every day, whatever it is in life, you have a higher probability of fulfilling that particular goal when you are really goal-oriented and go after that task. And I think that's something they do well, to end my TED Talk right there.
I was about to say, keep preaching, Grant. Keep preaching.
Right. There it is.
Let's talk about tonight, my friend, and what you expect. Max Fried, listen. And by the way, I haven't asked you about this. I mean, like, he doesn't get named to the All-Star game. I think Fried has been really good. I think, you know, this is one of those things where you start looking at the candidates and you start looking at the guys on his team and you say who's more deserving. But I don't want to discount, like, what Fried has done. He's 7-4. His ERA is right at about 3. You know, but I think the last few starts, right, you might have said, okay, did those hurt him? He allowed a season worse, 8 runs in 4 innings. It was back when they played Arizona back in April, and I thought the start is not what he is now. And I think a lot of people think that the way he started is where he's at. It's not, is it?
Yeah, no, his real rough start came against this Diamondbacks club, and it came in his second start of the year, and he has definitely gotten back to what I would call the normal version of Max Fried. And there are going to be some, I mean, really, if you're a starter, you make 30, 31, 32 starts, whatever the math comes out to now. It's not 35 or 40 anymore. We know that.
Right.
It's not about throwing 250 or 270 innings anymore. We also know that. But if you're able to go out there and complete 30-plus starts, typically about 5 or 6 of those, you're not going to have it at all. It's probably not going to be a good night. And very few, if any, pitchers are able to get around that fact. And mathematically, I feel like some of Fried's happened early on. And with the consistency that he has, the kind of pitcher that he is, the execution with an arsenal that includes 6 different pitchers, the pitches that he'll throw anywhere between 10 and 20% of the time, he doesn't give a lineup the same look time and again. And I feel like that's one of the reasons where last time I know folks were like, why do you let Max Fried face Trey Turner again? Clearly he didn't have it. But I would also make the argument, play devil's advocate, Max can find ways to get guys that I don't think you give some other pitchers that opportunity or give them that much leeway, if you will, that much rope. And that's one of the reasons why he is who he is. And so this outing against the Diamondbacks, I'm sure he's well aware of what happened the last time. We'll look to make his adjustments from that. The Diamondbacks have also been in a very different place throughout the course of the season since then. And I think you'll see maybe a little bit of redemption on Max Fried's mind, his final, you know, tune-up maybe of this first half. Let's go see what he can do to close it out and to get himself into the second half with some momentum and help the Braves win a series.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, before we cut you loose, Grant. And again, catch him this weekend with all the best baseball coverage here in Atlanta. Paul Skenes, he has a no-hitter going. 11 strikeouts. He's on his 99th pitch, going through the 7th inning, and they pull him. I know this is the post-Steven Strasburg world we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, let the guy – can't we let the guy go? His no-hitter's going to have to wait. It's the second time in his 11 starts now he's pitched at least six no-hit innings. I'd start him in the All-Star game. Let him be this year is Mark Fidrich. As the first round, and Mark Fidrich was Rookie of the Year. Yeah. Now, granted, he was a 10th-round selection, but I say do it. Baseball doesn't do a great job of promoting their stars. Start Paul Skenes. What do you say to that, Grant?
I absolutely agree. I think I had this conversation a couple of different times in the last week, and I know they talked about it on the TV broadcast a while back. And, you know, well, maybe that honor should go to somebody who's been there and done that and earned that and earned this. And it's an exhibition game. If you're looking to get your sport in front of the casuals, as they say, to get people excited about it, not everybody's gotten to have Paul Skenes pitch against their team. Not everybody, obviously, is a Pirates fan, and that's not a joke. I'm just saying, not everybody gets to see the Paul Skenes show on a national platform on a regular basis. Why not give him that showcase inning? Give him that opportunity. And, you know, he's shown, certainly, as the resume this season, to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. That's why he's at the game. I say, yeah, promote your stars. Give it that opportunity to let everybody lay their eyes on what could be one of the transcendent talents of this generation coming forward, and reward him for what he's done this year, because it's the 2024 All-Star Game, not the decades-long commemorative All-Star Game.
Ha ha! I'm with you. And for those who don't, for our younger audience, Mark Fidrich was a phenomenon.
Great player.
I mean, he shined like a lot of stars, like a shooting star. Remember, he used to talk to the baseball.
Yeah.
And he came on the scene in 76 and basically took over. Remember, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was on Johnny Carson that year. It was insane.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly popular, just a phenomenon, if you will. Sports Illustrated, remember, back then was a big thing. I think he was on the cover with Big Bird from Sesame Street because of the Bird nickname. Just a unique individual, and unfortunately, his career did not get to shine for a long time. But, man, if you go back and look, he shined about as bright as anybody in baseball during his rookie season.
Great stuff. Grant, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Braves tonight, Max Fried on the hill. We'll see what happens. We'll get you caught up on the latest in the world of sports coming up at 6.
I know they're really serious about their games here at Pickle and Social. You see this guy's got the measuring tape out from the cornhole game over here?
Yeah, that's real, man. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. We got to measure ours out, Mike.
But no, we don't. It's all over. No. You guys won. It's
well,
3 out of 5.
This is true.
You got
you're right, I mean, but I'm still going to measure out.
It's over. My team is...
This is true.
It all ended for me when the little guy couldn't throw the axe. I still blame Garrett Chapman. Garrett, that was the turning point. Yes, Carl, I'm putting this all on one player. Yes, I can take the high road and say the Braves can beat all of us, but no, I blame Garrett Chapman for Team Bell's loss.
Somebody has to take the blame. Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. 6 o'clock hour. What's going on with the dogs and the latest that's coming out of Athens? If you haven't heard, stay tuned. Rusty Menzel runs down everything with us in the 6. It's Dukes and Bell.
Time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Grant McCauley, close but no cigar last night. We can still win this series tonight. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Let's go around the yard. Grant, talking about last night, I said this to Mike. 2 starts for Charlie in July, and he's given up 4 home runs. The home run hurt him last night, and he owned it. You know, he was like, look, a couple of pitches, but we're still scoring runs. And I'm trying to take some positives out of this. Grant, we scored 5 again last night.
Yeah, I mean, there was fight. And that, I think, was something that for what felt like 8 weeks, whatever it was, the Braves didn't have the home runs going. They did not have the ability to just rally time and again to even up a game. And that's a moral victory. And maybe in sports sometimes, and especially when you're fighting for every game that you can, there are no moral victories. But you have to, I think, at least appreciate that this Braves lineup does appear to have more fight and a little bit more bite to it. And we saw some of that last night. Unfortunately for Charlie, home run ball was a problem. Unfortunately for Joe Jimenez, he's had very few bad outings this season. But never a good time for one when you're on the road and that team has a chance to ultimately take the lead and move ahead the way that the Diamondbacks did. But by and large, again, yeah, you're right. Chance to win a series, chance to close out this first half with a series victory in Arizona and maybe another in San Diego, which is going to be a fun series, which I'm sure we'll get to tomorrow.
Just frustrating because, you know, Charlie Morton was, you know, the 2 outs. That's the thing, the 2 out home runs.
Yeah.
They just, you know, it's such a backbreaker because it seems like he's just one pitch away, but he was really up in the strike zone with some of those curveballs.
Yeah, and the first one especially, the Eugenio Suarez one, that looked like, to me, I mean, they said that one went only 10 feet further than Duvall's the day before, but, man, it felt like it was about 40 or 50 feet further. I mean, he clearly was waiting on that curveball. It hung there on the outside, and you let a big power hitter like that, even with a lot of swing and miss in his profile, kind of sit looking for something, especially get his arms extended. That definitely hurt. But Charlie, after having so much trouble with the home run ball a couple of years ago, really bounced back nicely last year. I feel like he's also continued to kind of work his arsenal this year to pitch a bit differently. But you know, there's no getting around the fact that his curveball is his strikeout pitch. It's the one that he's going to go to. He just didn't execute that one. And the Diamondbacks, I mean, they're a team that their record doesn't necessarily, much like the Braves, kind of underscore exactly how good this team can be. But have they been able to find the consistency? No, they haven't. But they were playing some better baseball before coming in and losing the first two against the Braves.
We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys. It's Tukes and Bell. Braves back in action tonight. This is a four-game set, by the way, and we'll see what happens. Ozuna continues to do this, man. Like, last night, that bomb, you know. And that, I thought at that point, Grant, I was like, okay, we're about to come back and win this thing.
Yeah, and they finally are giving you that feeling again on a semi-regular basis. And Marcelo Ozuna, I mean, this just continues to be a season for him in which, and I know I joked about it yesterday, but I'll say it again, where would the Braves be without Marcelo Ozuna this season? He has just been the guy for him, and he was that guy in the eighth inning that, you know, was he trying to even up the ledger, give them a chance to maybe steal another one in extras if they needed to do that. But he's come through. I mean, half of his runs batted in this year have come with two outs on top of that, which has been kind of part of that clutch gene, if you want to call it that, something that's kind of a tangible, intangible that Marcel has brought to the table as well. But he picked a big moment for one. Unfortunately for the Braves, the Diamondbacks had the answer in the bottom half.
Phillies are on pace to win 106 games as Grant McCauley joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Looked it up earlier today. Look at the numbers, as me and Carl like to say. The Braves have had 100-win seasons a bunch of times, Grant, and never went on to win the World Series. 98, they lost to the Padres. They've just, I don't care. I've been banging on the wild card thing. With the right pieces at the trade deadline, and as you said, the bullpen, you don't really, you know, still don't feel it really needs a tweak. Maybe, you know, get a bat or two, and let's just go to work and just and get there from the wild card.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, you kind of have to look at it this way. I mean, and I said this a lot on From the Diamond, and I'm going to throw that plug in there because I just want people to know where they can get it, wherever your podcasts are, or wherever you get your podcasts, and also on the Odyssey app. That aside, you know, the Braves will maintain, and Brian Snitker said this about 3 weeks ago, we're not planning to win a wild card. We want to win the East. That is going to be their mission every single year. It has always been their mission. It is not the only, you know, mission in their whole campaign, though. Getting into the postseason is where they feel like they have the opportunity to get hot, to be that team and in that month that does the things that only one club can do ultimately and be the last team standing. If it happens to come to the wild card, they'll deal with that. They'll be happy to be there regardless. But, yeah, I think you go out, you get what you can at the trade deadline that can make this club better. I think we should be encouraged by some of the signs we're starting to see offensively from a number of hitters not named Marcelo Ozuna, and just let the chips fall where they may. Go out there and win every day, and that's another thing about the Braves that I think maybe drives some people nuts, but it probably shouldn't. You know, they look at every day as an opportunity, and if today's opportunity doesn't work, tomorrow's another one. They'll go out there and approach it that way, and I feel like that everyday thing is one of the reasons why they have been so successful, is that they do recognize each opportunity and move forward. As cliche as it may sound, when you do set your mind to something, your intent to something, and you focus on that every day, whatever it is in life, you have a higher probability of fulfilling that particular goal when you are really goal-oriented and go after that task. And I think that's something they do well. To end my TED Talk right there.
I was about to say, keep preaching, Grant. Keep preaching.
Right. There it is.
Let's talk about tonight, my friend, and what you expect. Max Fried, listen. And by the way, I haven't asked you about this. I mean, like, he doesn't get named to the All-Star game. I think Fried has been really good. I think, you know, this is one of those things where you start looking at the candidates and you start looking at the guys on his team and you say who's more deserving. But I don't want to discount, like, what Fried has done. He's 7-4. His ERA is right at about 3. You know, but I think the last few starts, right, you might have said, okay, did those hurt him? He allowed a season worse, 8 runs in 4 innings. It was back when they played Arizona back in April, and I thought the start is not what he is now. And I think a lot of people think that the way he started is where he's at. It's not, is it?
Yeah, no, his real rough start came against this Diamondbacks club, and it came in his second start of the year. And he has definitely gotten back to what I would call the normal version of Max Fried. And there are going to be some, I mean, really, if you're a starter, you make 30, 31, 32 starts, whatever the math comes out to now. It's not 35 or 40 anymore. We know that.
Right.
It's not about throwing 250 or 270 innings anymore. We also know that. But if you're able to go out there and complete 30-plus starts, typically about 5 or 6 of those, you're not going to have it at all. It's probably not going to be a good night. And very few, if any, pitchers are able to get around that fact. And mathematically, I feel like some of Fried's happened early on. And with the consistency that he has, the kind of pitcher that he is, the execution with an arsenal that includes 6 different pitchers, the pitches that he'll throw anywhere between 10 and 20% of the time, he doesn't give a lineup the same look time and again. And I feel like that's one of the reasons where last time, I know folks were like, why do you let Max Fried face Trey Turner again? Clearly he didn't have it. But I would also make the argument, play devil's advocate, Max can find ways to get guys that I don't think you give some other pitchers that opportunity or give them that much leeway, if you will, that much rope. And that's one of the reasons why he is who he is. And so this outing against the Diamondbacks, I'm sure he's well aware of what happened the last time. We'll look to make his adjustments from that. The Diamondbacks have also been in a very different place throughout the course of the season since then. And I think you'll see maybe a little bit of redemption on Max Fried's mind, his final, you know, tune-up maybe of this first half. Let's go see what he can do to close it out and to get himself into the second half with some momentum and help the Braves win a series.
It is our man Grant McCauley, guys, before we cut you loose, Grant. And again, catch him this weekend with all the best baseball coverage here in Atlanta. Paul Skenes, he has a no-hitter going. 11 strikeouts. He's on his 99th pitch, going through the seventh inning, and they pull him. I know this is the post-Steven Strasburg world we live in.
Yeah.
I mean, can't we let the guy go? His no-hitter is going to have to wait. It's the second time in his 11 starts now he's pitched at least 6 no-hit innings. I'd start him in the All-Star game. Let him be this year's Mark Fidrich as the first round, and Mark Fidrich was Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was a 10th round selection, but I say do it. Baseball doesn't do a great job of promoting their stars. Start Paul Skenes. What do you say to that, Grant?
I absolutely agree. I think I had this conversation a couple of different times in the last week, and I know they talked about it on the TV broadcast a while back. And, you know, well, maybe that honor should go to somebody who's been there and done that and earned that and earned this. And it's an exhibition game. If you're looking to get your sport in front of the casuals, as they say, to get people excited about it, not everybody's gotten to have Paul Skenes pitch against their team. Not everybody, obviously, is a Pirates fan, and that's not a joke. I'm just saying, not everybody gets to see the Paul Skenes show on a national platform on a regular basis. Why not give him that showcase in and give him that opportunity? And, you know, he's shown, certainly, he has the resume this season to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. That's why he's at the game. I say, yeah, promote your stars. Give it that opportunity to let everybody lay their eyes on what could be one of the transcendent talents of this generation coming forward, and reward him for what he's done this year, because it's the 2024 All-Star Game, not the decades-long commemorative All-Star Game.
Ha ha! I'm with you. And for those who don't, for our younger audience, Mark Fidrich was a phenomenon.
Great player.
I mean, he shined like a lot of stars, like a shooting star. Remember, he used to talk to the baseball.
Yeah.
And he came on the scene in 76 and basically took over. Remember, Grant, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he was on Johnny Carson that year. It was insane.
Yeah, no, he's incredibly popular, just a phenomenon, if you will. Sports Illustrated, remember, back then was a big thing. I think he was on the cover with Big Bird from Sesame Street because of the Bird nickname. Just a unique individual, and unfortunately, his career did not get to shine for a long time. But, man, if you go back and look, he shined about as bright as anybody in baseball during his rookie season.
Great stuff. Grant, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow, man.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Braves tonight, Max Fried on the hill. We'll see what happens. We'll get you caught up on the latest in the world of sports coming up at 6.
I know they're really serious about their games here at Pickle and Social. You see this guy's got the measuring tape out from the cornhole game over here?
Yeah, that's real, man. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. We got to measure ours out, Mike.
But no, we don't. It's all over.
No,
you guys won. It's 3 out of 5.
This is true. You're right, but we're still going to measure it out.
It's over. My team is...
This is true.
It all ended for me when the little guy couldn't throw the axe. I still blame Garrett Chapman. Garrett, that was the turning point. Yes, Carl, I'm putting this all on one player. Yes, I can take the high road and say the Braves can beat all of us, but no, I blame Garrett Chapman for Team Bell's loss.
Somebody has to take the blame. Hey, guys, this hour is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. 6 o'clock hour. What's going on with the dogs and the latest that's coming out of Athens? If you haven't heard, stay tuned. Rusty Menzel runs down everything with us in the 6. It's Dukes and Bell.